Good morning.
I'm sorry. Oops. All right, here we go. This is a new microphone, so that's why we're testing this thing. So I think that's a good, yeah. Maybe a little bit lower, Barton, because I'm about to get loud, brother. Yeah, this is a new one, and so I hope when Dwayne gets here, I hope doesn't find it all stretched out, because I don't know, in Mexico, people make fun of people from Yucatan, where I'm from, that we have huge heads. But most of the time, it's just hair. But still, they still make fun of us because of that. So it's so good to be here, brothers and sisters. I'm so glad to be here this morning. We're going to talk about the Word of God. We're going to talk about getting involved in the church. We're going to talk about getting involved in our lives. We're talking about getting active in the church. So how do we do that? How do we get involved? I mean, I could give you so many reasons. I could give you so many things to tell you about why getting involved. But let me start with a couple of things. What do I do here at the church? I have been asked that question a few times. You know, David, what is your job here at the church? I know you are the associate minister, but what do you do here at the church? You know, and I tell them a lot of things. You know, I could work with college. I work sometimes with the young professionals. Sometimes, you know, I do the family time groups. We do the fellowships and all of that. Also, I do involvement, if you didn't know that, you know, with the visitors that come in. We check on them. With the people that place membership, we try to plug them in, find them families that they can be friends with, find them in the same group. But what do I really do here at the church? This is what I do. You ready? Every once in a while, that's what I do. That's what I do. I love to read, probably about 2 pages, and then I'm done. I haven't been a good reader all my life, but you know. So as a joke, people think that's what I usually do, right? That's not what I do all the time. I do that sometimes, but that's not what I do all the time. So let's go ahead and get with the lesson. What do we do? All right? What is involvement for us? What do we do? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, where we had the reading, if you don't mind opening your Bibles again there in chapter 2, we're going to cover verse 10. And there's a word there that is very interesting to me, that I love it. And I've seen a lot of workmanship through my time here. Also, I have seen a lot of things being done that there's no way I could replicate. There's no way I could copy what they do. In the book of Ephesians, the church here is amazing. If you remember, one of the churches in the book of Revelation, that the message is to the church in Ephesus. And in chapter 2, verse 10, this is what the Bible tells us here. For we are God's workmanship. Now, let's just stop there for a second. We are. Now, this is not we will be. This is we are. This is a present tense. And also, it's interesting that it's in the aorist tense, right, in Greek. What that means is it's continual. It's present, but it also continues. So it's something like you say, I'm Mexican, right? Well, yeah, I'm never going to stop being Mexican because that's what I am, that kind of thing, right? So, but also when you say, I'm hungry, yeah, I'm hungry right now, but it will stop when you eat something. But then guess what? You will continue to be hungry. We are God's workmanship. He's working in us. He's working through us. He's shaping us. And when he's done shaping us in a little bit, then he will continue to work on us. Now, this is interesting as well. What kind of workmanship are we? What kind of workmanship are we in the eyes of God? You see, in my house, and I'm sure in your house as well, you have a lot of decorations, don't you? You have a lot of things that are beautiful. You have a lot of things that are unique, just like we do. That is a picture that I have. I don't have the thing itself. It's a picture that I have. I just thought it looks so pretty, so intricate. Look at all that detail. I mean, can you imagine how much it took the artist, how long time, how much money, how much effort it took him to cut everything? The scenery in the back, the trees. What about the boat? What about the people? All of that, it took him a long time to do. But let me tell you, is David Durantis a decoration? Am I, in my Christian walk, a decoration in the eyes of God? What does that mean? Does that mean that when I come to church because I'm a Christian, am I here to be a decoration? Is that the workmanship that God is doing in me? Is that the workmanship that God wants me to be? To say, David, I made you, I formed you, so here, sit in the church. So you can be a decoration to everyone, that everyone can come and see and say, wow, that was a sorry job. No, right? That's not what God wants. That's not the kind of workmanship God wants us to be, right? What were we created for? Now, let's keep on reading in verse 10. It's interesting that Paul says this right after he says workmanship, created. We were created. That is a unique word when we find it in the Old Testament. That word in Greek is the word tiso. What that means is, it's not only created, but it means that it came to be. Just like when God said, let there be light. He created it just by saying it. And Paul uses, it's interesting that this is the only time it is used here, that God created us. He gave breath into us. And if you remember, the word breath is also the word life. He gave life unto us. For what? In Christ Jesus, to do good works. Isn't that amazing? That he created us. Not only, what is the purpose of a creation? Think about that for a second. What is the purpose of the things that you have in your house? Well, let's talk here for a second. What is the purpose of this podium right here? Right? It holds my Bible. It holds my notes. It holds everything. Oh, there's water here. How about that? There's a bottle of water over here. You see, it has a purpose. It has compartments. It has the sound. It has batteries. There's a ring as well. And it holds things. You see, this is what the podium does. It has a purpose. What is the purpose of the microphone? You see what I'm saying? When God made you, brother and sister, when God made us, he didn't just say, I'm going to put you on this earth and that's it. He gave us a purpose. He put us in this world and he gave us something that we were going to be good for. Something that we can work so that we can have good works. But it's interesting, so that in which God prepared you in advance for us to do. He made us in Christ Jesus. He made us new and he gave us a purpose in our lives. There is no decoration for a Christian. No Christian should be a decoration piece. We are created to do good works. That's right. We were created. Now, you see it again? We were created to work. Now, that sounds a little bit contradicting, doesn't it? Because if you read just a few verses before, he emphasizes, emphatically saying, we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace. That's right. We are saved by grace. But there is a reason why we were created. There is a reason why we were saved. So the works is not for our salvation. The works is to glorify him. The works is so that we can see and say, this is what God wanted me to be. This is what God wants me to be. You see that? We were created for a purpose. We all have things that have a purpose. So my question is as well for you this morning, what is your purpose? What is your purpose in life? Why are we as Christians sometimes find it hard to get involved in the church? Why do we find it sometimes hard to do something in the church? In the Christianity.org asked this question. And they said, why are you not involved in church? And people that went there, they could respond or they didn't need to respond. But they took the survey and they said that these are the three main reasons why people are not involved in church. You ready for it? Three reasons why people don't get involved in church. Number one, because they feel useless. That's number one. They feel useless. They feel that that their talents are not being used in the church, or the church doesn't need their talents. Why? Because sometimes there might be somebody that is already doing all the work. You see, I'm kind of like a worker. I'm a bad manager, but I'm kind of like a worker. You tell me what to do, I'll go do it. That kind of thing. You know, when you're in the mission field, with the guys that we go to the mission field, when we go there, we have a group leader, and he says, this is what needs to be done. Let's see who needs to, let's get it done. We start working, we start doing, and everything gets done. Sometimes things don't go right. And when things don't go right, that's when you say, well, let's find somebody else to come and help us, right? But when you have one person that wants to take charge of everything, when you get that one person that wants to do everything themselves, guess what? You're going to feel useless as well. Because there's going to be that somebody that knows how to do everything. And I'm not it. We're not it. But there's going to be somebody that does. So in a lot of places, these people, their comment was, I feel useless. They don't need me. They don't need my talents because somebody else is doing it. Let's go and visit the widows. Well, somebody else already doing it. I don't think they'll need me to do that. Okay, well, let's go visit the sick. Well, so-and-so, that's a good job. So why do I need to do it? Well, let's get involved in the AV room. I don't know much about computers, but, you know, do you know how to click? Yeah, that's pretty much it, right? Right, Bob? It's pretty much just click, right? Exactly. You know, and so, but you know, somebody knows how to click, so they don't need me. That's what happens. We, as Christians, we need to help people realize that they are not useless, that we need them, that we are asking them not just for help to help us do something that we don't want to do, but we're asking them to help us in this endeavor, in this work of the church. There are so many works in the church. They feel useless. The number reason, too, why people don't get involved is because they are hurting. Somebody has hurt them at church. Somebody laughed at them, or somebody said something to them about how they did something. Do you remember when you missed that note? Do you remember when you switched verses on the song? That kind of thing. Do you remember when you misread the word? Do you remember when you brought your chicken fried steak and it wasn't chicken fried steak? It was more like, yeah. You know what I mean? Right, exactly. So they are hurting because they did something at some point, at one time, and somebody belittled that. Somebody offended them by that. Somebody said something to them that made them feel bad about what they did, even as small as it was. These are real people telling on a website why they don't get involved. Isn't that interesting? This is where they go to say, this is why I'm not doing it. Because they are hurting. Also because they have some feelings that they are trying to process. They are grieving sometimes. They have lost someone. Sometimes they're trying to process the feeling of, how do I get back into the rhythm? I'm hurting and I don't know how. It's interesting. A lot of people are hurting. The third reason why people don't get involved in church is more like my reason why I wasn't involved in church. I just don't want to do it. I see the need. It's there. I just don't want to do it. You know? I'm lazy doing yard work. You probably know that by now if you've seen my house. I'm a little bit, I don't know. I just don't like yard work. I know it needs to be done, right? I know it's there. I know the grass is tall. And I know that sometimes there is the yellow jackets. And maybe that could be an excuse, right? But I just don't like to do it. And I just find any reason. I mean, I'm sharing something here with you that is true. This is not something I'm making up. It's true. I find any reason not to do yard work. And that's why I have kids. You know, just send them to do it. You know, it's just that kind of thing. But sometimes I have to do it. Sometimes I just got to do it. But you see, sometimes in church, you ask people, we need help. We need help badly. And we might get some of those reasons. So I'm not pointing fingers. What I'm saying is, what is your reason? Let's be honest for a second. Be honest with yourself. What is your reason? Why do you think we might not be doing as much as we need to in the church? Why is that? Now, let me give you 40 reasons to be involved in ministry. Are you ready? Four. Sorry, Barton. Sorry, Barton. Four reasons. Okay, he deleted 36, so you got to thank Barton for that. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. This is an interesting comment that Jesus makes. In Luke chapter 10, 2 and 3, he's talking to his disciples. And interestingly enough, he's passing through a field, and we know that. But you know what's something that the disciples didn't know? That what Jesus was looking at was a crowd of people that was coming towards him. They were looking at the field when Jesus said these words. But what Jesus was looking at was at the crowd coming to him. And then he tells them, the harvest is plentiful. What does that word mean? What is plentiful? There is plenty enough. Have you ever been at a River Chase fellowship? We have plentiful. That's what that means. We have more than enough. We have plenty. I mean, you see the emphasis I'm making? There is always something to do. That's what Jesus is saying. There will be always something to do. What is the problem? The problem is that the laborers are few. The workers are few. What that means is, brother and sister, we have a lot of work to do that is not being done. Isn't that something? Brothers and sisters, there is plenty to do that is not being done. If you lived in the Durantes household and you told your mom you're bored, that was a bad thing to say, because she would put you to work until you said, I'm done, I'm tired, or sometimes you start crying. But, my mom would make us rearrange furniture. We had a chicken coop, and we would move it from one side to the other. Yucatan is very rocky, so there's always rocks, and we had to rearrange the rocks as well. I mean, anything and everything. You could get you told her you're bored. Next time, you'll regret it when you say you're bored. But there is a lot to do. You see what Jesus is saying here? Now, what can you do? What can you do when there is a lot of work to be done that is not being done? What are you to do when you know that you're getting overwhelmed by everything? When you know that it's like, I'm getting tired of this. What are you to do? Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers. That's something? Now, I want you to see something here. That Jesus is not telling to his disciples, y'all go do it. You go do it. You see what he's saying? He's telling them, pray. Pray that the Lord will send, will fire up, will ignite people in their hearts to do that work. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? He didn't expect them to do all the work. I mean, when you look at fields and fields and fields, you don't expect them to do all the work. When I lived in Texas, every Sunday morning on my sophomore year of in the school of preaching, we went to a town called Muleshoe. And they had three Hispanic families there. And these three Hispanic families, once I met them, they said, well, can you come back again Sunday? Well, I didn't have a car, so my roommate will do me the favor, and I will tell him, hey, I pay you for gas. They're asking for help. Can you take me to Muleshoe, Texas? From Lubbock, it would be close to 2 hours on Sunday morning. We would leave and just go to Muleshoe. There were a few times that people would invite us in their homes, and, you know, we would eat. We would be there all day, basically. Sometimes we would come late at night. I mean, the fellowship was amazing. I just love doing that. You get to meet people and you go to their farm. They show you everything. So when you talk about maybe 8, 9 p.m., you're heading back home. And the most amazing thing about that was, that illustrated this for me, was seeing the farmers work at that time. At 9 p.m., they're still picking up cotton in their tractors. You see just a bunch of lights. I didn't know what it was. I was wondering, what are they doing over there? I had no idea. And this brother said, my roommate said, they are just picking up the cotton at 9 p.m. at night. That really impressed me. But what really impressed me more was that there was not only one tractor. There were several. And they were just going over there. It was amazing to me to see. It's like they're all helping each other. It's all the same cotton, right? It's all going to benefit one person. But you know what? They're all working together there because this is what they're doing. The harvest is plentiful. We need help. Verse 3 says, go, behold. I just want to use the word go. Don't worry about the rest. Just go. Just do something. Remember that word in Matthew 28? Go. We're going to preach the gospel to all the world. Where do I start? Go. Just go. Find somewhere. Find someone. So this is reason number one. Reason number two, James 1:25. It demonstrates our faith when we get involved. When we get involved in the church, it demonstrates what we believe in. When we get involved in the church, it demonstrates what our convictions are. Look what James says. But one who looks intently, I just love that word. You know, I guess when you have ADD, when you focus intently, it's just like a new thing. It's like, this is really hard for me, okay? But look intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer. I just love that. He's not only doing something, but now James is emphasizing one more word. And he says we have to be what? Effective. We have to do it right. If something is worth doing, you know this saying, right? It's worth doing what? Which way? It's worth doing it right. If I'm going to be a Christian, I'm going to be right. I want to do it right. I want to be right in the eyes of God. If I'm going to be a Christian, I want to do it His way, the right way. That's what James is trying to tell the Christians here. If you remember, and this he hasn't gotten in chapter 2, which is faith and works. He hasn't gotten there yet. But what he's trying to tell the Christians, look at it. He's saying, we need to be effective in what we do. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not always going to work that way. It's not always going to work that way that we want to. We're not always going to be effective in what we how we do things. But we got to try. We got to work. We got to try to make it right. And sometimes the only way to learn when something hasn't been done before, the only way to learn that is making mistakes. And learn as you go. And do it right. We have a guide on how to be Christians. Do we have a guide on how to be parents? I miss that booklet, right? But we try, we work hard, and we got to try to be effective on those things. Service, working in the church, demonstrates our faith. Let's look at the third one. We're almost done. Children will do what you do, not what you say. You know, let me go back for just 1 second on the previous point. In that service demonstrates our faith, I asked this question. I don't know if they still remembered, but I asked that to David and Mary Driscoll. You know, I have a huge admiration for them about their kids. I said, you know what? What do we need to do with our kids? What do I need to do with my kids? And they told me, you know, I think we were involved all the time. We were in their children's classes. We were teaching. We were in activities, you know. So that really stuck with me. That was just probably last year. It really made an impact on me. I'm like, you know, that's it. You know, your children will see what you're doing. They will do what you're doing. Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 3. The Lord your God has commanded me to look at these two things. One, number one, teach you. And number two, that you might do them. Isn't that something? See, the word of God teaches us so that we might do these things. Children will imitate what you do, not what you say. They will imitate everything. I mean, have you ever noticed your dad in yourself? Sometimes even your mom in yourself? Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes you might like it. Sometimes like, man, how did I become to this? Right? Why am I saying this? Why do I say it this way? A lot of the things that I say the way my mom said it. The, a lot of things that I do the way my dad, my father did it. But you know, children will do what you do. It's amazing how a lot of times we lose so many when they go on their own. Once they leave home, once they leave the household, we lose a lot. I don't like that statistic. I hate that statistic. I think right now, right here, this one right here in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord is telling us, this is how we fix it. This is how we do it. This is how we get it right. Get involved. Show them how it's done. Show them how to love Jesus. Show them how to love their brother and sister. Show them how you're supposed to love your spouse. Show them how you're supposed to love them. Show them. Don't just tell them. Be nice to your spouse. Be nice to your kids. Be nice to your neighbor. Be nice to your church. Just be nice. Love them. This is how we do it. We set an example for them. See, it's easier for me to tell my kid, do the yard. But you know what? He's now getting to that point where he doesn't want to do it. Right. And you know why. That's right. Because daddy doesn't like to do it. And so when mom tells him, I need you to do the yard, and daddy is not home, he takes his sweet time. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? But you see that example? I mean, I'm living it right now. Maybe this is something for me to say, I need to do better yard work, or maybe I just need to make more money to pay somebody to do that for me. But anyways, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know what I'm talking about. We got to get involved. You want to save your kids? You want to save your grandkids? This is amazing. This is amazing. Talk about grandkids. I know I'm going to run just a little bit longer. I'm sorry. But this is important. We have a person here in the church. And I'm sure there is more than one. But there is one that I know of that I met last week. His parents are from another denomination. But you know why he comes here to River Chase with us? Because his grandparents came to the Church of Christ. His parents go to another church, but he comes here because his grandparents brought him to church, took him to camp, and took him to as many activities as they could that were involved in the church. Now, talk about awesomeness. You see what I'm saying? Get involved. It's amazing how the things that we can outreach, that we can do for people when we get involved. The last thing I'm going to say is, why do we need to get involved? Because one day, we will stand before the Lord. In Matthew 25, you guys know that story, right? That's the story when the people present themselves the last day in the throne of judgment. And they say, when did we see you hungry? When did we clothe you? When did we visit you? There are two key words in that passage. The people that entered, the people on the right, and the people on the left. The people on the right, I'm sorry, this is my left. The people on the right, they did something. You gave me something to eat. You gave me something to drink. You gave me something to wear. Isn't that something?
It doesn't necessarily have to be a lot, but it was something. To the people on the left, the Lord will say, you gave me nothing to eat, nothing to drink, nothing to wear. You see the difference there between something and nothing. One day, we all will stand before the Lord. What will he say? Did I do something? Or did I do nothing? One day we will be in front of him. So what do I need to do? What do you need to do, brother and sister? Get involved, right? I just love this saying. We don't stop working when we are tired. We stop working when it's done. We get involved in church until the job, until the work is done. I know a lot of times that can seem burdensome, because a lot of times seems like when you're involved in a ministry, you're there until you die. If you're a nursery teacher, you're expected to be there until you die, right? That's not how it works. That's not how it works, at least not here, brothers and sisters. You know that at least that's not how it works here. We're going to have a ministry fair on September the 10th. And last couple of years ago, we did one. We had a huge amount of people signed up for things, for a lot of things. So deacons, be prepared. I was supposed to let you know last week, so now this is what I'm telling you. Be prepared. We're going to be doing this ministry fair so that people can get involved. We can use their talent so that they don't feel useless. So even if they are hurting, we can move on a little bit through that and keep on working for the Lord. There is a lot of work that needs to be done. There is a lot of work that we need to do, but we cannot stop. I know sometimes we get tired. I know sometimes we might feel burdened. Sometimes we might be getting burned out. Don't get tired. We're going to get this thing right. We're going to get it until it's done. And when will it be done? Until I die, or until Jesus comes. That's it. There's no stopping. We're going to make this right. This morning, my invitation is, if you would like to get involved, the invitation doesn't stop here. Talk to the elders. Talk to one of the ministers. Talk to one of the deacons. Talk to the people that you know that are involved in things. Let them know and say, I just want to do something. You know, that's my job here. But when I'm not taking a nap, come talk to me. Let me know that you want to get involved. Let me know that you want to do something. And we will put you to work. You will love it. You will be benefited. I could give you many reasons. I can give you over 40 reasons why you should get involved. I only gave you 4. And I can give you over 100 things that you can do here at the church. Just come to my office. Yes, we can do it. We will get it done. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand up and let's sing the invitation song.